All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
And welcome back to Taxation is Theft, the show where we talk about all the ways the government is ripping you off. Broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube. From an underground bunker deep within the jungles of Mexico, I'm Dan, Taxation is Theft Berman, former candidate for President of the United States, currently in the race for Governor of Texas. And today, I have Ryan Abshire, no man a king. He is a dedicated candidate running for mayor of Lake Charles, Louisiana, with no party and demanding change. He says, I burn any bridges that aren't letting everyone cross, and heavy is the head that wears the crown. Take it off. Of course, before we get started, and this is going to be a very interesting show, I want to take a quick minute to ask for your support. Head on over to taxationistheft.info and help us out by buying some swag. You help us out, we'll help you out by sending you awesome stuff in return, so you're not just throwing money away. You'll get one of these really awesome hats that I'm wearing, or you'll get one of these giant flags you can wave in your front porch and piss off your HOA. T-shirts that say taxes pay killer cops. All kinds of really awesome stuff. But head on over there and get what you can. Support us how you can. And don't forget to, as you're listening to this, like and share and subscribe and do all that. Invite all your friends. Start a watch party because this is going to get interesting. Ryan, welcome. How's it going?
I'm thinking now, seeing your hat, I'm thinking about getting my own, but it's going to say taxonomy is theft. When they describe us, they divide us.
That's... See, this is how bad the American education system is, because when you said taxonomy, the first thing I went to was taxidermy. And I was thinking, like, yeah, well, I guess you're stealing. I started, like, going, my mind was already racing down the channels of, like, yeah, but some people already treat their animals as property. So, is it and then, taxonomy. Yes. No. Yeah, fuck me.
The naming of things, taxonomy.
Yes, yes.
As in, like, you know, the first written language was... chiseled, you know, cuneiform, and it was to record who owed who bushels of wheat. That's why we have language.
Oh, wheat.
That's from Graeber's debt the first 5,000 years.
Yeah, no, that was actually, there's a really interesting, I'll call it a schlockumentary on Netflix called How Beer Saved the World, and that was one of the original things that wheat farming was, that all had to do with, producing beer more than food.
Mead.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah. So, man, and we were just talking about, like, there's you've got a lot of stuff going on. You're a very interesting person. You got a lot of stuff going on. You're, of course, down in Louisiana. There's a couple big storms that went through. Let's start this out by talking about how much the government sucks.
People all the time tell me I'm too political, and I say, well, if politicians got anything done, I wouldn't have to be. They say, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You want free stuff, but when they tax us, they're, you know, getting free stuff, and it's hard to pull yourself up by your bootstraps when your house is flooded and destroyed due to the inept city government not properly draining the sewers after the worst storm in 150 years to ravage Southwest Louisiana, which Southwest Louisiana, Southeast Texas is, if you're familiar with Louisiana, it's 3.5 hours from New Orleans. It's the heel of the boot, not the toe. And I don't tend to go near the toes of boots because that's where people want them licked. I usually lay them in the heel where we're squashing roaches when they come out of the woodwork, because they do. And it's been a bad, you know, it's been, I think it was late August that Laura hit, and it was a mandatory evacuation and a huge storm surge and the worst category 4 storm to hit American soil in 150 years. And most of the people that died whose bodies we found, of course, because if you're washed out to the Gulf, it takes a few years to be declared legally dead. The ones we found were, most of the ones that died were ineptly or, you know, poorly installed generators, because you'd realize when it's 120 degree heat index, it's kind of hard to sleep anywhere without some form of cooling. I slept in my Toyota RV4 a few days, 6 days or so until we got power back. And I live in a, you know, nicer part of town. And we're still struggling. Literally most of my time, probably 16, 18 hours a day, every day pretty much has been handing out supplies and stuff and checking on disabled people, people with kids and people who literally lost everything. And most of them got a $500 check from FEMA.
That doesn't go far.
People said, well, that's not much. And I said, well, that's minimum wage for 2 weeks after taxes.
Right. But when you're talking about cleaning up a disaster, it's you're not just trying to pay your rent and keep food in your stomach. You've got some fucking cleanup to do, I would imagine.
Well, remember, folks, this is not legal advice because I'm not a lawyer. That old socialist dog in the White House who lives in government housing and doesn't pay his taxes that he, you know, wants us to pay. He said that nobody has to pay rent through the end of the year if they can't due to COVID. So, I mean, you'll still be due on the first, but hell, it sounds like you could secure another place to live by then. So any landlord that's giving you a guff about trying to hassle you for rent, especially right now in my city, people are hassling people about their rent for abandoned or destroyed homes. Hey, you still owe me lot rent for that trailer that's gutted and filled with your, you know, the wreckage of your life. And they're kicking people out and they're scared because people are afraid to stand up to these people. Well, I'm not. Tyranny comes in many forms.
Yeah.
Tyranny comes in many forms. Yeah.
There's like, okay, so I know there's like a big divide here, right? There's a lot of people who, you know, they hate landlords to begin with. And then like, you've got other people who are just like, well, there's nothing wrong with that. They're providing them a home to live. But if you're saying the home has been destroyed,
it's not livable.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have anything left to rent. And as a landlord, I mean, yeah, maybe you should have insured it. And yeah, maybe you're dealing with asshole insurance companies that don't want to pay for the repair, but you can't charge rent. That's absolutely fucking insane.
You can't charge rent if they can't. You cannot evict someone for non-payment of rent till January 1st, period. Anywhere in the country, thanks to executive order by Donald J. Trump. Mm. Socialist dog. Bernie Sanders pays more taxes than him. Well, I'll be damned.
Well, you know what I say about those executive orders.
They're not law. You don't have to start a nonprofit to not pay taxes. You become a billionaire and president and you just don't fucking pay them.
it's not even that complicated. I mean, like I a long time ago, and this gets into this story becomes really creepy. I went to like, you know, Trump had like that like school of whatever that like was trash. So I went to one of these things. Yeah. So I went to one of these things a long time ago and it partnered with some other organization. And it was like a free weekend of all these classes by all these different people. And really what it was is you go to these free classes and at the end they try to sell you like a $5,000 package for some crazy shit, right?
$35,000, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is Trump gave the keynote speech at that thing. And this was like 10 or 15 years ago. But like at some point, everyone started cheering, President Trump. President Trump. And I'm like looking back, it's like, that's fucking weird. But anyways, my point, the reason I brought this up is that there are like in that school, like hopping from class to class, there were plenty of people who were basically experts in Trump's tax avoidance schemes. They're completely legal. Like you don't need a nonprofit, you don't need an LLC, you don't need any of this shit. Like really anybody can do it. And it's what's really fucked up. I don't care that he's not paying taxes. What's really fucked up is that the IRS and the rest of the government is basically telling people like, "Oh yeah, no, you got to pay all these taxes," when in reality nobody has to pay it. Everybody could be making all these deductions or just opting out of the system altogether. But they tell you you can't do that. That's a crime. That's the fucked up part about this. That's like the hypocrisy. That's like, no, we created this system to tax the rich, but we're using it to tax the poor. That's what fucking pisses me off.
And I'm aligned with you on some of this. And I don't like, you know, like the dictum of taxation is theft. People tend to get wrapped up. And well, we have to have some. And obviously, I think most people realize you have to have some form of something. Okay. But how do we label that? That, you know, membership fees or whatever. Then people don't like that. Well, you can't get pulled over for speeding because I have deluxe, bronze level police status and I can go 5 miles over the speed limit. You know, so there's always something. But what people don't realize is it's not just taxes. it's insurance, healthcare. I'm a big advocate for universal healthcare. I'm on Medicaid. Okay, that's why one of my monikers is Mayor Medicaid. Destroying misconceptions about the government and Republican elected officials. While
we lost you. He'll come back.
Right. So I have a car, right, that's worth, you know, $20,000 before I've gotten in three wrecks and three flat tires in the last 6 weeks. $20,000. If I drive that car without insurance and long enough, they'll arrest me, give me free health care and housing for a long time, and they'll take my fucking car, but ask for myself for insurance for me, which would cost less than to insure my car that I own, and I'm called lazy or greedy. That's another form of theft, right? They're saying my car that I own is more valuable to the government than my body. So that's something I don't like.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, like, I think I missed part of that because you cut out for a second. But yeah, sorry. Absolutely. They'll assume they can take your property because, oh, you don't have insurance on this. We'll take it from you. But what are you saying? What do you mean by, once they take your car and are you saying in jail they'll give you free health care in jail and they'll give you free?
Well, yeah, because when you're in prison, I mean, the land of the free is the land of the most incarcerated in the world. And which state is it is has the most incarcerated people in the state of Louisiana, in the state of, you know, United States? It's Louisiana. We are the most incarcerated state and the most incarcerated country in the world. That includes Somalia, North Korea, and China. Land of the free.
Do you know what the percent is? Because, I mean, the U.S.
In the United States, it's what? It's overall on probation, parole, or imprisoned. I think it's 3%, 2-point-something percent. Like mm-hmm. It's
and
very
so
high.
Louisiana is the highest. That's got to be a higher. I mean, that has to be higher than that.
What's the general homicide rate per 100,000 in the United States? In a state, you know, or generally 4 or 5.
Let's Google it.
Louisiana's 11.
Oh, wow.
We are the second highest homicide rate in the country. And actually, that includes territories. Puerto Rico has slightly higher than us. You will remember Puerto Rico in 2017 voted a referendum to be considered as the 51st state, and it was resoundingly ignored because they can't vote for president. I mean, just we can't really either. We just vote for electors.
Oh, they're fucked. They get fucked.
And they overwhelmed like 90-something percent of people that voted for it. And what did they do? We took to the streets. And how do I know? Because I was there. I talk a lot, but I'm not all talk. And I think it's just time for people to realize storms are always coming, but there's been one in Lake Charles or, you know, where I've been educated and all that for 32 years. My birthday was a week ago. And for bigots, cowards, corporate shills, government or otherwise, predators, I'm a hurricane and I'm knocking things down and I'm a little bigger than a category 4. Because they say a lot of these folks don't like minorities or they don't like those of us who maybe look different or speak differently. But what they don't realize is they're a minority. Just most people, decent people, are afraid to speak up. So people like you and me, even though we might not agree on every single thing, you know, people look at us maybe and go, ah, these guys are crazy. Well, maybe if we're crazy, maybe you should step up and have a decent candidate run that we could actually vouch for. Maybe you should step up and say, hey, we're not going to stand for this anymore. You know, I mean, it's we don't have to, like at this protest, we were a parade or a licensed rally the other day. There were about 25 extreme right wing white supremacist militia. And there was 25 of them. There were 600 of us. People said, it's sad that still exists. And I said, no, it's sad. You don't realize that there's 25 of them and 600 of us. They are a minority. Confederates, for instance, I don't know if you're familiar with my history of Confederate statues in Lake Charles, Louisiana. We had one in front of our courthouse. Our police jury, which is like a county commission kind of thing. It's an elected body, not police officers, but they're in charge of parks and monuments and stuff. They voted 10-4 with the vice president abstaining for tiebreaker. He said he would vote to remove it, to keep this Confederate statue that says the South's greatest defenders, and it's an unnamed Confederate soldier. They voted to keep it. And this crazy bleeding heart liberal protested, refused to yield, and was thrown out by the Calcasieu Parish Sheriff's Department. It was me. And look what happened to the statue. Hurricane Laura knocked it down. You want to be on the side of heritage or Mother Nature? If they are a minority and they hate minorities. So we got to realize we have to join together, whether you're Libertarian, Republican, Democrat, no party, Green Party, birthday party, cocktail party, probably my favorite. You have to join together and say, as a people, we're not going to put up with this shit anymore. And I think people are starting to realize that.
Yeah.
The time for nice guys is over. nice guys get people killed and rent out the train cars to the Nazis and say, have a nice day. Leave us a Yelp review on how you enjoyed your train ride. And people like me, they're not nice, fight them. So rise together and rebuild. And we have a hashtag for Louisiana's hashtag SWLA strong. Because we're a strong people. And we'll overcome all this. But I say no man a king. And Laura and Delta just tore down all the castles. So if they want to rebuild them, sure, they can. But they better make damn sure there's some affordable housing in them. Our government seems to be run by pawns trying to be kings and supported by homophobic secret queens.
There's a lot of interesting stuff you're saying, and I'm curious. So like one thing I want to ask about is you've got an extremely high homicide rate. What do you think is, because I've always kind of seen, and I don't know if this is verified or not, that there's some sort of correlation between poverty and homicide. Is that the case in Louisiana, or what do you think is driving
poverty
the high?
Poverty in Lake Charles? Our mayor makes $125,000 a year salary plus staff, dining and travel, which I'd hate to see his dining bill because he's a big guy. Staff, full retirement benefits. And so it's about a $200,000 pay package, which is comparable to like a House of Representatives guy or a senator, almost a little lower than a senator. In our city, the average person makes $18 an hour pre-tax.
Oh, wow.
Our city is divided. It's called North Lake Charles a lot. That's old Lake Charles. It's mostly black. It's economic and social gerrymandering. The area I live in is, you know, South Lake Charles, but they're the same city. We're surrounded by four sister cities, Iowa, Moss Bluff, Westlake and Sulphur, which are either part of the unincorporated area or their actual own towns or cities or villages, et cetera. And it's all really weird because we've never elected a black mayor, but our city is 48% black.
And what about the neighboring cities? Have any of them?
No. Moss Bluff is part of Lake Charles technically, so it doesn't have a mayor. Sulphur, I don't believe, has ever had a black mayor. It's predominantly white, but it's also very poor. What it is we have an open primary system in Louisiana, meaning anyone can run for any party with no party approval. Meaning, like in my city last time, our nice guy mayor that's so nice that we have, he was the only Republican in a field of seven, I think, and all the others were Democrats. Only 33% of the population registered voters turned out to vote. He got 11% of the total registered turnout and went to the runoff with a more experienced judge candidate who is black and Democrat. 65% of the people that voted for Democrats. And they came out, increased voter turnout on a runoff, on a single runoff on a Saturday. 33% more showed up to vote. And guess who they voted for? The young white guy who inherited a fancy restaurant where all the rich folks in town eat. And he's the only Republican, and they all switched and voted for him instead of the black working class candidate, who is, you know, not my favorite either. But why would they all switch? Is it because they were so confident in him? No, because they want to remind people, we'll let you run, but you remember who's in charge. Because these folks claim they love freedom, but what they mean is their freedom. They claim their rights, what they mean is their rights. They claim they love veterans, they love white veterans or veterans that look like them. They say they love marriage, but they only love their marriages as long as they last. I mean, you know, Clay Higgins has been married four times, and he backs the blue but votes red. He'd fit in better in a swing state, but he's running for Congress, and it's a whole other story. But when you see the world through rose-colored glasses, color doesn't matter, but the color that matters in our city and most of the places in the country that really divide us is green, gold, and silver. It's economic disparity that people don't realize is really what grows. And I think you guys know that. I think DSA knows that. Democrats know that. Republicans sure as shit know it. Our purchasing power shrinks, and that with, you know, the only, we teach about capitals in school. You know, you teach all these state capitals to the kids. Maybe we should teach them about capital. Maybe we should teach them about business and financial freedom, because if you're, I work for myself. I own several businesses. I do business consulting. I write. I don't have anybody to answer to. I don't own a nonprofit. I'm a for-profit, and hell, I still give stuff away because I'm not asking somebody's permission. I'm not separating my receipts to show you which kids' books I bought or which baby food I bought when somebody asked me to feed their baby because their food stamps don't cover it. I'm not going to ask permission from a board of directors to drive across town and deliver somebody a Band-Aids or something if they need them, you know, not during a storm or not during COVID ever. Part of my mission as my businesses and my life is if somebody is hungry and I have enough food, I'm going to give them a bite. And I'm not going to ask them to get a job or why they don't have a job or to lick my boots clean to take a bite. I'm going to give them a bite because it's people, not party. And we're seeing out of all this, out of chaos, we're in chaos. Community has always worked. Capitalism's never worked. Communism's never worked. Community, family, and people have always worked in one way or the other. Did I take your breath away? Do they have a dispensary for breath down there? Go in and get a fresh load of breath.
It's funny. I just saw a meme earlier today with this guy. He's like, his eyes are like bulging out of his face. And it's like when you're choking on a drop of water, but you don't want the rest of the restaurant to think you have COVID.
My line is that if a girl says, choke me, daddy, I give her a Popeye's biscuit with nothing to drink.
Oh, man. yeah, sorry about that. This is interesting because just from hearing you talk, I mean, you're a very, you like going out of your way to help people, it sounds like. You're very much against corruption and the corrupt systems that we have, and it's interesting because listening to some of the things you say, I might have thought like, okay, this guy probably leans towards socialism, but at the same time, you just said socialism doesn't work, right? Or did you say communism? That's when I started.
Well, I said communism, but no system has worked. I mean, Rome seemed like a good thing going for a while where they were, you know, feeding a lot of Christians to lions, but even that one failed.
Well, and yeah, and I think this goes to a point that I talk about a lot where it's not like, because like some of the things you're doing, right? You're helping people. That's socialism in a way, but it's not ism. It's not like we're forcing this on other people. We're not forcing other people to be the same way that I am. You have a business that
exactly,
you run.
Yeah.
That's capitalism, but it's not the ism. You're not forcing other people to do the same. I think that's a really important point because this all goes back to like
exactly.
this idea.
You're fighting for.
What's that?
You fight for freedom, right? Dan, for freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm a freedom fighter and I'm free to do whatever the hell I want with consenting adults without hurting people. But the thing is that takes the, you know, you guys have the non-aggression principle, libertarians do, which is a rule, unfortunately. The rule is just be a decent human being, but everyone's not going to be. So that's why guys like me, some form, are going to have to stand up and say, hey, don't do shit that you shouldn't do and hurt people because people are, there's always going to be rabid dogs and there's always going to need to be a dog catcher. So if we, can agree as a people, aggression, bigotry, hatred, supremacy, predation, shillery, bootlicking in general is not going to be accepted when it won't be. I'd like to have one percenter clubs or gangs explore domestic violence reports and child protective things to keep our, you know, boys in blue safe and just make sure that, you know, volunteer, you know, their services to check on people that might be accused of taking advantage of the weak or the elderly or the sick or children especially. That way our police could really just do, you know, really important stuff that we need armed tactically, you know, tanked guys up. And we could have our local community guys show their dedication to the community by visiting people accused of beating their wives or their children or taking advantage of people, right? I mean, that sounds like fair. That's something we could stand by. I'm all for that. That's voluntarism, right?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, and
I bet you the rates of domestic abuse would go down when a big 6'8" biker comes up to your house and says, buddy, I heard you're beating up on her, and look, I'm either going to beat up on you or her or both, and it's up to her. So you want to apologize?
Right.
Is that government? Well, is that some kind of interference? No, that's people.
Right.
That's people.
But what's interesting about that is, like, so a lot of people are afraid of that because they're like, yeah, but what happens when that biker comes to my house and I didn't do anything wrong? And so, you know, there's that. But at the same time, this was something I think we were talking about before we started the show when you were at a protest and there were – I think you said it was the Proud Boys and the sheriff, and you couldn't tell who was who because they were all kind of dressed the same.
I don't know if you're. Oh, go ahead.
It's the same kind of issue. Like, you know, okay, like you've got bad cops too, right? The bad apples, right? Oh, there's just a few.
Yeah,
of them.
I don't
but
hate cops.
When
the
cop comes,
that are, yeah.
But when the cop comes knocking on your door, how do you know? It's the same thing. Like when the biker comes knocking on your door, how do you know if he's a good biker or a bad biker versus when the cop comes knocking on your door? How do you know he's not a bad cop? We have this, like, we're conditioned to believe, okay, the uniform is how we know that that person is good. But that is completely misleading.
Well, it goes back, look at like sexual assault victims, right? They say shouldn't address that way. And Dave Chappelle said something like, well, do you go up to a guy dressed as a cop and say, officer, could you help me? And he goes, what, you think because I'm dressed like a police officer, I'm a cop? Well, yeah. And I'm definitely not, wear whatever you want, as you know, let your freak flag fly, but you got to always be prepared. Look at the way I dress. I mean, people think a certain thing about me. A lot of folks can't decide if I'm gay or trying to sleep with their wives. Either way, it makes them nervous. But here's the thing. It was not a protest. It was a licensed parade from NFACT, the Not Fucking Around Coalition, the fourth largest militia in the United States, out of Atlanta, Georgia, who came to our land with permission, coordinating with the authorities and, you know, telling what's expected, heavily armed, and they are all black men because they've adopted the strategy of their enemy, who is people who say they love freedom and their rights to bear arms but don't love it when they do it. Our sitting U.S. Congressman Glenn Higgins, Captain Higgins, former police officer and Coke, you know, funded by Coke, fueled by Crystal, fans. You know, look, you know, you get that one.
Yeah.
He said if they, because they were somewhere else, they have never incited violence. They've never caused problems. They always get permission, but they're heavily armed and they are indeed not fucking around. They came to town because Clay Higgins said, y'all try that here, I'll drop any 10 of you. I wouldn't even spill my beer. Why did he say it to them, despite him gaining popularity as like doing Crime Stopper videos where he would say, put your affairs in order, I'm coming after you. He likes to say, punks like you, we bench press more than you, and he's about 5'6". He backs the blue but votes red, and he fit in more in a swing state, because if you ask the LGBTQ plus community in Acadiana, where he's not even from, he jumped districts to run here. He's a big fan of he was actually penalized for having a face down handcuffed black man, and he was assaulting him, and he was, you know, that was covered up, and he was, you know, just resigned. But rumor has it he likes to be face down and assaulted, handcuffed behind his back the other way. You know, he says keep your affairs in order, while he uses Grindr to keep yours in order. No, that's a legend. I can't prove that. Because, you know, in a depressed dad, Trump dad glory hole dungeon, they're all mouths are gender neutral. You know what I mean? and I actually made a video. He likes to hold his gun with his little hat like this and his hand on his gun. And I'm calling you out. Well, I called him out. And my hand was on a measuring tape. And I said, you want to see who's more of a man? I'm not hard to find either. He hadn't shown up, and he was not there at the rally or as a parade. It was licensed and permitted. He wasn't there despite them saying they were coming for an apology. He actually talked to him on the phone, and it was recorded. He didn't ask if it was being recorded, so he, you know, compromised national security by being a sitting U.S. congressman and not knowing you know, the laws of – you can record people in Louisiana without permission if it's on your own personal line. Anyway, and then he didn't show up. And he didn't apologize. And he's a coward, and he's a shill, and he's got to go. I'm voting for my man, Rob Anderson, a friend of mine, and he's for the working people, and he's a Democrat on paper, but he's just a person that, like, wants to help people. And so we got hashtag Rob Mob for that. I vote for the person, not the party, so I'm voting for Democrats, Libertarian. I'm voting for Jorgensen for president, because I've never voted for a Republican or Democrat for president, never will, and I've actually never voted for president because I'm not an elector. I vote my preference. I phone banked for Bernie Sanders, but I couldn't vote for him in the primary because I'm not a Democrat. He's not either. He just caucused with him. Well, I'll never caucus with him, and I'll never join the party. I don't even carry the card. I pay dues to one organization, the NAACP, and we did a voter registration drive at that event. And then when the Proud Boys came up, Cajun militia, all these folks, they all came so heavily armed, and they're called 3%ers. And a lot of them genuinely are just gun enthusiasts who, like, wanted to go and, like, see what's going on. And some of them, you know, I talked to all of them. I talked to everybody, cops and everybody. They actually had good intentions. Well, a small splinter group known as the Cajun Militia, I had no idea who they were. I ran perimeter because I met with them, in fact, at their hotel that morning and said, hey, I'm on your side, you know, at least somewhat. I'm running perimeter because I've been to 100 of these things, making sure nobody's being an idiot. Well, he was yelling over people with a concealed bulletproof vest on under a Top Gun shirt. And he was refused to say Black Lives Matter. He kept saying All Lives Matter. So I filmed him saying, so pedophile lives matter, which is a line I've heard you say too. And he said, what? Because, I'll send you the link. So, but he said, I don't get you. I get them to the Armed Black Panther Party who are holding AK-47s. He said, I get them. You're crazy to me. And so I'm filming this. And they said, what makes us different? And I said, yeah, please explain why we're different to the Armed Black Panther people with Huey Newton Pan-Africa patches and berets, full black and full ready for war. He said he understood them. So when I see people with guns on both sides, when there's discord and bigotry or hatred of any kind or the chance for violence, I get in between and I give away free books. And I say, no bullying, let's talk. If everyone's got a gun, who needs one? If every man's a king, who needs a crown? Give me a crown, I'll pawn it and give away kids' books. Heavy's the head that wears the crown, take it off. Money and power are easy to get and hard to keep. And that's why so many people are greedy. So the only responsible thing to do is to give it away. So I've already committed and I've already stated publicly multiple times, if I'm elected mayor of Lake Charles, I'm going to give a speech. I'm going to make a few little orders and a few things, and I'm going to resign on the first day. Because the only responsible thing to do with power and privilege, which I've earned power, I guess, or money, you know, I give it away. Privilege, I've got it. I share it. There's things I can do that black people can't do, that women can't do, that trans people can't do. I have a lot of trans friends who are scared to even go places sometimes because people will literally kill them. Lynching didn't ever stop. If Emmett Till hadn't been lynched, he'd be a year older than Joe Biden today. Could he have been president? We'll never know. Bigotry and aggression and hatred of any kind. I wasn't asked to condemn white supremacy because people know where I kneel on that issue. But my people are diverse and strong, and it's time to stand up and say, this shit ain't gonna happen anymore. Well, those guys that I stood up embarrassed, they retreated. He had an empty holster because he's a convicted armed robber felon and multiple drug user. He looked like he was high on amphetamines. He retreated, and they waited for me in a parking lot where I was ambushed and guns pointed at me and told, this is how we talk to black guys when they don't have guns. That's edited. He said, much hurt worse. And I couldn't film it very well because I have Sprint, and then I couldn't live stream, so I got very bad footage. A good friend of mine told me I can get a little body cam on a good deal, so I'm working on that. And so these guys, and I didn't know who to go to because they're wearing the same tactical gear as the sheriff's department. Now, why is it legal to wear tactical gear that it looks like military gear, but you can't wear a police shirt or you can't wear, you know, a shirt with child pornography on it? We have to have some kind of rules. I'm free to fly whatever flag I want. Well, fly one outside your house covered in child pornography and see if the FBI agrees, because most people ain't going to step out of the woodworks to back you on that.
Right.
So it's just, we have to stand together. And I'll say one little more thing that kind of goes with this and what I try to practice, not preach. But when you go to these things, I always go back to what was the biggest terrorist attack in U.S. history and what caused the most deaths of civilians and U.S. soldiers in modern history. It was in 2001. What was it?
9/11.
No, it was our response to it. Our hasty response and misguided rage directed toward two countries that were not directly involved as a country. We attacked Afghanistan and Iraq. We're still there.
I thousands just totally flunked that test. You're absolutely right.
Hundreds of thousands of civilians have been killed. Hundreds of thousands. Mostly under Obama by drone strikes and stuff, actually. Nobel Peace Prize winner. And more soldiers have been dead, and then a lot of them that come back. You know, you've met some veterans that aren't really here anymore. They've been through such horrible things. Yeah. Because we didn't take the time to say, look, we have all this power. What if George Bush had stepped up, and he'd have never said this because I don't think he's that kind of guy. If he had said, we have the most powerful military and country in history, we could literally execute everyone on the planet, but it won't bring back one dead child. So instead, I ask you as a world to say, stand up. We will not let rabid dogs dictate our world. Send the men forward to our country and they'll be pardoned, protected by our military, the mightiest in the world, and allowed to live out their lives working 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, one day a week off to raise children, their own sovereignty. But they will remove the bodies and the debris from the towers, brick by brick and body by body, and bury them until they die. It sounds harsh, but maybe people would have listened, and people like me, I'd have stepped up and helped them. Because all this supremacy, bigotry, and all this division and stuff is rooted in one thing, is keeping power out of the hands of the many, and we have power. Look at Les Miserables, one of the most famous musicals in the world. Do you hear the people sing? Well, we're singing in Southwest Louisiana, and we're not shutting up. and I'm not going on American Idol or The Voice. I'm just going to howl until somebody stops me.
Yeah, man. No, I mean, you make some really good points here. I think most people agree that the response tonight, I mean, we're still living in the response to 9/11. We're still there.
Patriot Act, Citizens United, et cetera.
Well, I mean, even the foreign intervention, we're still in Afghanistan and Iraq and everywhere else. Where supposedly we went to go get Somalia. Osama bin Laden, who died 5 times along the way.
We invaded Pakistan without permission.
Yeah, it's well, I guess you can't invade anywhere with permission, or else it wouldn't be an invasion. It's all really interesting. And
well, what don't you like about it? Let's fight.
Oh, man, I'm trying to find something, and I'm like, I cannot disagree with this guy. I mean, you know, you're I think you're right on point in a lot of different ways. And it's funny, you know, you say you don't want to be associated with a party, and I see this all the time. I mean, I got attacked by the Libertarian Party because during the nomination process, when I basically hit the point where I was out, I wasn't going any further. I went straight to Twitter because I've got a lot of support, and I didn't want them. And most of my support doesn't come from in the Libertarian Party. Just never my goal.
General.
Because that was the whole thing. I was like, dude, look, all these people here. I mean, they're already libertarian. Either they believe in life and liberty and not interfering with other people's lives, or they don't, and they're here for whatever political reason. I don't need to campaign here in the Libertarian Party. So I was campaigning outside. And so the first thing I wanted to do was let my support know, hey, like, okay, yeah, I'm out. I'm not quitting. I'm not stopping. This was not a one-stop thing for me. I'm not going to disappear so you can never hear from me again. So I went straight to Twitter and said, yeah, I'm going to continue to run as an independent. And the first thing the Libertarians did was they came out and attacked me because, oh, you're not representing our name anymore. And it's like, why the fuck am I supposed to represent? Like, I don't live for you. You are the bureaucratic arm of a liberty movement. I live for freedom. I live and die for freedom. That's what I'm out here trying to do, is share these ideas of freedom around the world. And I don't, like, you're not helping me do that. If anything, I'm helping you. Like, I provide a lot of help to the Libertarian Party. But don't act like you're entitled to everything that I do, and everything I do has to go under this libertarian banner. That's absolute bullshit. But it's this, like, collectivism thing. And I know, this is how the big parties work, too. I mean, you look at, like Bernie Sanders, right? I don't agree with him on all of his policy, but I'm sure, like, he's relatively a nice guy. He's not trying to get in there and screw people over. He believes in what he believes in. And some of that's different for me, I believe this, like, I mean, he supported whenever like a Democrat gets a nomination. When Biden got the nomination, I think he endorsed him. Who ran last cycle, and he ended up endorsing him. But it's like he endorses these people who he, like, when they're debating, he completely disagrees with
her. Her Clinton.
That's who it was. Yes. He
don't presume her gender. Don't presume her gender. I thought you wanted freedom.
But
I want free shit because this is.
But
the land
he endorsed her. He endorsed her afterwards. After he said like he completely disagreed with her because he's sticking with the party line, and I said that's bullshit.
Well, you know why he is? Because he's a nice guy, and also he doesn't want to get killed because the DNC is a mafia, just like the RNC is. It was a hit job. He was a hit job. It's admitted, Donna Brazile and all of them. It was a hit job. They took him out in the first one. In 2020, he was polling 22 points ahead of Buttigieg, Klobuchar. Biden was like fourth in the polls. And who else? Warren, Harris. The name goes on. Bernie was killing it. The first debate, he was a star. He was electric. People were going, hey, maybe we got to get him. And what'd they do? The day after the debate, when he came out and polled, Obama called three of them. He called Warren, he called Harris, and he called Buttigieg, who was actually the mayor of a city about the size of Lake Charles, who ended up being a major contender for a Democratic Party. Now, this is all speculative, but he shockingly got a book deal 9 months later, or no, 6 months later, from the same publisher as some other prominent Democrats. He's been claimed as maybe a candidate for a cabinet post. Harris, I'm told by Washington insiders, unofficially off the record, she was given VP the day she agreed to back out. But Biden made it seem like it was a choice. They're a mafia, and I don't like them either. So, I'll vote for a Democrat if I think one is decent, but I'm not going to vote for one for president because I can't even vote for president. I'm not an elector. Right.
Well, so assume everything you said is correct. That's still to me the same thing that the Libertarian Party is becoming. I mean they didn't threaten to kill me, but they're like, oh, we're very upset with
they
it.
Will
right
they will
when they grow and when they become that powerful and when more outsiders come in who don't believe the libertarian philosophy. I mean, we've already got Republicans like on email saying like, yeah, we're gonna go take over the Libertarian Party in Texas. This is already happening. I warned them about this in like 2012 or 2016. Like this is like when this party becomes big enough. I mean, it's like, okay, let's say there's a little island like off the coast of Australia and it has no resources or anything. Who's going to go invade it? Nobody. But then let's say they discover oil. Who's going to want to invade it? Everybody. And that's what as the Libertarian Party grows and becomes more valuable, people are going to want to invade it and use it for the resources that it has, which in this case would be political power.
When you make a crown, people don't want it if it's just to be a band of iron. You start putting jewels on it, they get interested, and then eventually you had the curiosity, interest. Now you got the curiosity, and when they see you wearing it and how bright you shine wearing that monogrammed hat or that crown of any form, you know what they end up doing? They want it. And when they start wanting it, they get hungry and they covet. And when they covet, they start creeping, and eventually they take it.
Exactly.
So don't give them something to take. Look, if I walked down the street and saw a diamond on the road, I wouldn't pick it up because it's not mine and it ain't going to fit through an eye of a needle anyway. I'm not a Christian. My religion is the Bill of Rights. And so when I kneel for something and people say they kneel only to God, well, that document is my religious document. And you're saying what I'm doing is holy. So what you're saying is what I'm doing is holy by your book, and you're calling me a liberal pussy idiot for kneeling to something I believe in. What you're saying is you're an idiot and you only respect your own views. People say they say it all the time. You know, they hate me. And I go, okay, well, I become what they claim they love, and they still hate me because they don't love anything. People are more focused on profits with an F than profits with a PH. Like you said, you were prophetic about the libertarian takeover. Look at the biggest grassroots political movement in history was the Tea Party, right? Totally funded by the Koch brothers and affiliated PACs. Facebook is the biggest grassroots marketing mechanism in history, and it's actually privately owned and publicly, partially, you know, privately owned by major shareholders, but it's a publicly thing, community standards. And in a way, it is a form of, in a way, and you've had issues with being banned from it. It's just kind of a self-regulating government type, free type body, community standards and stuff. And we all agree to them when we sign up. And look how pissed people get off when they're on a 24-hour ban for saying the N-word. Right. Because people are going to say it. So what we have to do is slap them a little bit on the hand when they say it so they stop saying it. Or we have to film them and blast them on Facebook and share the message because it's not slander if they do it. So we have to stand up and say, stop doing this shit so we can live our lives. Whatever two consenting adults, three consenting adults, six consenting adults do in their bedrooms, their business. You want to do whatever religious ceremony you want without murdering somebody to put their virgin blood on your pedestal? Do it. Do your share and help your community, take care of your family. Art's a passport. Take a trip. Go for it. Heal any way you can. Right now we are in stress. And if I seem like I got the 1,000-yard stare, it's because we're in a freaking war zone in Lake Charles, Southwest Louisiana, and I'm dragging crumbled shit out of houses and scooping them out with shovels and dragging people out of cars, wrecked cars, because there's no stoplights and people are drunk and don't know what they're doing. A city full of addicts who didn't have their fix for weeks go through town trying to pass out supplies in that city and say, why didn't you call the cops? Why didn't you call 911? Because you can't call 911 when there's no signal. It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire, if you don't have a debit card and there's no ATM with cash anywhere within 100 miles. Right. Money only matters if people say it does. People always matter. Life matters.
I want to talk about that a little bit more in just a second. But first, I want to talk about something that you you mentioned about. So, okay, this is going to take a little while to explain, but you've got you say you want to get elected as mayor. You're going to do a few little things, and then you're going to resign. And because you're symbolically taking the crown off, and not exercising this privilege or this power. But here's what's interesting: you've got, let's just for the sake of brevity, 300 million people in the United States. 300 million people are going to be doing 300 million things at any given time during any given day. Out of those 300 million, 600,000 are of those things that you can be doing are elected positions. You could have a job, you could have an elected position, you could have, you could just be taking care of your community and not doing any of that stuff. Any of those things are options. But what's interesting is those 600,000 elected positions, plus a lot of those, they're not elected positions, but they're positions working for those people, supporting those people in those 600,000 positions. Those are positions of this magic power of the crown, right? So I think it's almost an interesting point to maybe separate, because getting elected isn't necessarily getting power. You can get elected into an office that maybe has no power, but you can also get power by not getting elected. Maybe you create a business and you acquire a huge amount of wealth, and then you extort some people and, whatever. Maybe your power is you took a photo of somebody that they don't want to surface, and now you hold that power because you hold that photo. All of these accumulations of power are separate from some sort of voting process. So I want to make that clear first, but then going back to your point about, okay, you want to get elected and then resign. If you resign, and you're essentially taking the crown off, and maybe there's a fix to this, you're essentially taking the crown off and leaving it there on the throne, and as soon as you walk away, all these other people around the throne, all these other, and some of them are those elected officials or those people who are working for you when you took that crown off, are going to stand there and say, oh, we need to have a special election because nobody's wearing this crown. And so everybody's going to say, hey, crown up for grabs. And everyone's going to go in and try to grab it. Versus if you were to sit on that throne as a fair king, even though, okay, well, I still have this crown. Or could you destroy the crown? And I think this goes back to, that separation that I was saying. Because if you destroy the crown, where does the power go? If you sit in the chair and hold the crown, you prevent anyone using it for a bad purpose. But of course, as they say, the crown will always corrupt whoever wears it. So is there, but going back to the point, if there's 600,000 elected positions, and if those positions are positions of great power, shouldn't we start saying, okay, maybe instead of getting elected and then resigning, should we start figuring out how to take power away from these positions so they're not so powerful? Or, maybe there's some bigger fix to this than just that.
Oh, when I win, and I could also, I say resign, I could symbolically resign and say, I'm going to allow the city council to advise me on what I should do. And then if necessary, step in and I can just collect my salary and you meet the meetings and not do anything. I could appoint vice mayors or co-mayors as people that represent other parties or different demographics in my city. There's a lot of things I can do. I never said I'm going to totally give up power, did I? But also here's the thing about a mayor is they don't have power. They think they do. We lost electricity in my area for a long time, but we never lost power. Hell, I think Laura gave us a lot more. And here's the thing. Say I lose, right? Or say I win and I get kicked out or I do resign. You know what I'm going to do next? School board's up for election 3 months later. And that's another rich kid whose parents are wealthy, and he's never been a teacher, and he's our school board member. Well, I think I could beat him on that. And 6 months later, state representative. A year later, Senate. Year after that, sheriff, governor, and I got the means. I can keep running. It's cheap to run for office, especially when you're no party. I don't have to ask permission to get on the ballot. I just get signatures. When I ran for city council in Fayetteville, Arkansas in 2012 at age 23 with a $200 budget, I got 24% of the registered vote. I got third with no party. And I got 25 registered voters on a signet on a sheet of paper, and I was on the ballot with President Obama and Mitt Romney and the whole gang. It's not hard to run for office, so tell people how easy it is to run for office and have them run. I envision a world where we had 100 candidates for mayor, and there were so many good ones, it was just a crapshoot. And we said, heck, let's just have 100 mayors. Why not? Right?
Right. I mean,
but also, what if I win? What if, there's another power. Thing. What if I win? What if I win and resign? That would scare a lot of people. They would say, look how easy it is for this random nobody, this fringe guy to come up and win, right? What if I use my money to run ads in other cities in the area that have bad or corrupt mayors that are within the time I can move, re-register, and register and run for office in that area and say, you saw what I did in Lake Charles. I cleaned up the city by myself pretty quick. Anyone need me to move to their town and clean them up? If not, you better start appointing candidates to come, because Mayor Medicaid can become President Medicaid pretty quick. And I'll go anywhere in the country. I travel a lot for my businesses anyway. I'll move to Lafayette, Louisiana, where that protest was, has a corrupt, crooked mayor president. I'd hate to move to Lafayette and run against him in a year and a half, because if I take one down, they all get scared. And people constantly attack me, threaten me, say stuff. Oh, you flirted with my wife. Oh, like I have this woman that likes to. And it's okay.
Scared?
I'm not
dinner breaking, but I actually have legitimate. Are you worried?
I don't have a wife, but I'm saying people will find anything to, they picked at Martin Luther King, they picked at Kennedy, they picked at everyone, I'm not those guys, but I'm saying they'll say this and come to find out it was a woman that I've been flirting with and she's married and she's sleeping with another man who's married and they don't want to find out. Well, people, when they claim you're scary, what they mean is they have things that they want to hide and they know somebody like you does not give two shits about telling people. And like, I've already told people, I'm like, I'm a nice guy these days, even though people say I'm not. I'm not going to go out and spread her text messages or husband's address or let him know what's going on. I'm just saying, tell your friend to stop. And they tend to. But I'm saying that's power and I don't abuse it. And I don't take it lightly. I give away kids' books. I own a business called Read Free LC where I sell books and stuff and I to raise money to buy children's books and supplies and give away. And lately we've just been giving away supplies. That's why on my hand it says Read Free. Colors of the flag, nice. red, white, blue, and black, brown, a little yellow. So children, I deal with children a lot, and parents trust me, and kids trust me, and people slandering, if my neighbor lets me, visit her children and bring them books into their home all the time, you think I'm dangerous? No, I'm dangerous because I'm going to expose anyone, even if they think they're on my side, nobody's on my side, and I'll fight with you if you're fighting for freedom, but I'm not going to wear your fucking armband. I don't care who you are. I'll wear one of those hats if it says taxonomy and stuff. Maybe we can work something out. All proceeds go to Kids Read Free. I'll see our group on Facebook, and I'll just buy kids books with it because I got plenty for myself. And when I have plenty for myself, I was raised poor and in poor communities. And when you have enough for others to have, you give. That's social entrepreneurship. It's not socialism. People pay me good money to do stuff they call socialist because they don't want to do it. People want to donate money to me, but they say, I can't write it off on your taxes. And I say, if you're worried about a tax write-off, you can't afford to donate. We got this. Thank you. Because giving doesn't come with excuses or contracts. If you give someone a gift and say how they have to do it, that's not a gift. That's a contract. I'm a businessman. I negotiate contracts very harshly. I get paid a lot of money to do that kind of stuff. So,
hey, if somebody wants to donate and they're worried about the tax write-off, tell them you shouldn't be paying taxes.
Right? Yeah, just don't pay them. Google taxation and theft. How to exchange money easily via the World Wide Web.
Yeah, there was something else I wanted to go back to. We were talking about what is the? We were talking about this earlier. The government response to the storms that have come through there recently.
Oh, okay. How many hours do we have left? Because I could probably go for a while.
I mean,
when I die, they'll say, what were his last 100,000 words? Our mayor, well-intentioned, nice guy, though he may be. I've never met him, and I don't like to eat in his restaurant too much because it's kind of expensive. And it's two doors down from City Hall where the average entry-level worker makes $9.50 an hour, and they go and eat lunch there, but most of them can't afford to eat there. Why did he leave that job to become mayor? Because it's a $200,000 a year pay package and he still gets half the money from the restaurant. Anyway, it's literally two doors down from City Hall downtown. When he came out, he got a lot of attention. He was on the news and he looks tired and he looks overwhelmed, and that's okay. it's stressful. Heal any way you can, but he's not a leader and he doesn't have a heart for service. He has a heart for publicity. I don't do a lot of Twitter videos of me dragging people out of burning cars or carrying food to poor starving people and asking them to thank me. I'm not a missionary going to Africa paying $3,000 to stay in a luxury hotel and giving a weirded out kid a sandwich. Somebody's hungry, they tell me, and I feed them. And if I can't, I say I can't. But I usually can find you a can of beans if you're starving. Okay? And everyone had that mindset, I wouldn't have to do this shit. I could be sitting at home drinking a Modelo with my homeboy, Governor Taxation and Steph. His response, you know, the hurricane was worse than anticipated, and they didn't make everyone leave. So some people probably, definitely a 14-year-old girl got killed because her, I don't know the exact circumstance, but the family didn't leave, and a tree fell and crushed her. And I'd like to say those parents need to go to jail, but I bet sitting in the house waiting for EMTs for hours or days to come remove their teenager's body is probably punishment enough. If you're about to jump off of a bridge, they'll put you in a psych ward for a few days, saying you're suicidal. Well, if you're in a city or a parish, you know, we don't have counties, we have parishes. If you're in a parish that got 16 feet of water last time they had a big storm like that, and you say you're not leaving when another one's coming, that's suicidal. Drag them out of there. They didn't do that. And I called for that at the time. The mayor said, and I got a lot of flack, we have a $25 million science museum coming that the mayor brags about. $25 million would buy enough natural gas-powered generators installed and warrantied to give everyone in the city at least, you know, some level of basic comfort, air conditioning, refrigerator. If, you know, we'd have to huddle in. It wouldn't be exact, you know, just houses, you know, just housing. Like, my house could probably sleep 10 people if it wasn't gutted and destroyed right now. But, you know, in a pinch, we all didn't have power. We have generators. Well, these natural gas ones are stormproof, and natural gas service was not disrupted. I said we could have bought all that retail price for less than $25 million. So at least make this museum to disaster preparedness and hurricane history and have children's exhibits on how to install a generator and stuff like that. And people mocked me and said, he couldn't have known. 6 weeks later, another storm came and we still didn't have reliable power. And now the hum of generators fills the air, barely over the hum of mosquitoes the size of dragonflies that feed on our blood, sure as shit as our GMCs feed on the blood of the dinosaurs fermented into light sweet crude. He wasn't prepared. He bragged about clearing out tent cities in our impoverished areas before this, either officially or not. I've definitely heard him say it. And now half the city is living in tarped buildings or tents. In million-dollar home areas, we had tornadoes, 190-mile-an-hour winds, so any house, no building is safe.
Wow.
There's people living in tents, and he's not going down to his big donors and kicking them out, is he? No, they're in Range Rovers waiting in lines for MREs and tarps from the National Guard. Because if you're a millionaire and you spend your last dime on a down payment on a mansion, you're not a millionaire. You're broke. There's more money in the scrap copper in a moldy window unit than your net worth. And if you don't see that, you're part of the problem. I've been part of the problem in my life with the way I treat women, the poor, the mentally ill, the drug addicts. I've been part of the problem. But just because I'm part of the problem doesn't, or the patriarchy or whatever you want to call it, doesn't mean I don't want to tear it down. And it's time for guys like me to step up, and you fight for freedom in your own way. I fight for freedom in my own way, and that's fine. But we got to fight. I like to say from my home, from City Hall, from Baton Rouge, the capital of Louisiana, to Washington, D.C., to a psych ward, to a wheelchair, or to Angola, I can raise my voice and I'll still rise and fight. Because after the hell I've been through in this world, either from oppression, from addiction, from loneliness, isolation, mental illness, incarceration, you know, or systemic problems from police and stuff like that. After the hell I've been through, these flattened streets look like paradise, and I'm seeing angels every day, but we've known who the demons were all along. So why don't we step up and cast them out? If somebody dies because of what's happening, if somebody gets killed or kills himself because I'm coming after him hard and exposing them for evil, I hope the hell I send them to feels like heaven after what they've done to us all. And I don't promote violence. I don't practice violence. I don't own a gun. Don't carry one. Don't need one, because the pen is mightier than the sword, and I've got words for days. Some people think the penis mightier than the sword, but that's not really accurate either. Most of it would be more of a pen knife. But that one of those Proud Boy Cajun militia guys said, who's from Denham Springs, which is hours away, and they drove, you know, several hours. He said, I was a pencil dick. And I said, well, I'm sorry, you have size requirements, but if I'm a pencil, I'm a little bigger than number two. But the disaster, he bragged about clearing out the drainage and getting the water back to normal. We were under boil advisory for weeks, and I'm still reluctant to drink it. You know, I don't drink it out of the faucet. But he said it was, they did it faster than expected. Well, then why did 10% of the city at least flood? And it wasn't flood. It was backed up sewer lines. My house looks very much like it flooded from the sewer lines inside my house, which is a city-run thing that they said they cleared. Really weird, when the second the storm cleared and I got the okay from other volunteers, I left the house and went down one of the main streets near my house, which I had to physically clear of lampposts and debris and bedding and stuff that I literally couldn't, the emergency vehicles couldn't get through because I was dragging telephone poles by myself with, you know, there are other volunteers out there helping Cajun Navy and stuff like that. So the emergency people get there and rescue dozens of people from flooded homes. The manhole geysers, the manhole covers are blowing off from the sewers 4 feet high, and major areas of the city that never flood were underwater because they couldn't drain, because that system they bragged about getting done ahead of schedule ain't done and was decrepit and awful before. You can't even drink, you can't even eat more than 3 fish out of our lake under normal circumstances because of all the chemicals. I wouldn't be eating them now.
But wow.
There's always a way, because storms are going to happen. They said he couldn't have known, and I said he didn't know a storm was coming. One comes every 10 years, and one came 6 weeks later, and he wasn't ready. If he wants to resign and appoint me mayor for the rest of the term, I'll back out of the race and just serve mayor for the rest of the term. That's fine. $125K a year? Who wants that? Sounds like a pay cut. And I'm hosting a mayoral candidate campaign event to show solidarity. It's in his favorite place, a 5K, a park. I'm going to have a 5K, and hope he can come. Not calories! And he ate a Pomeranian. But the thing is, you don't need nice guys in office or people who you think fit the mold of who should be there. You don't need people pleasers. You need doers. You need helpers. Right. And you need people not afraid to stand up and bend and twist in the wind like that Confederate statue that sure as shit twisted at the knees because it lacks a spine. And it's gray on the outside like the Statue of Liberty. But what happens when you polish those? They turn brown because they're copper and bronze, and underneath they're brown. So that gray soldier's bronze underneath, and maybe he hates himself. I put up another statue. It's a little Buddha. And on the back, it says Brianna and Daniel Taylor never crawl. Nobody's touched the Buddha, and it's been there for 6 weeks. I lift it up top, but I don't have a stepladder to reach it because it's a 30-foot-high marble pedestal. If they want to put it back up, put it back up, but it'll come down sooner or later. Everything that stands in a position of authority that demands our praise or our affection or that people fetishize in some way is not sacred. It can all be torn down. 2,000 years ago, nobody knew who Jesus Christ was and nobody worshiped him. They worshiped thousands of other gods, and there will be other ones afterwards, because I'm not a religious, but if you study faith or the evolution of it, there is no such thing as a god. There is existence of some form. You can call it whatever you want, spirit or say your ego, whatever. That's never going to change what we think of as ideal. You know, we taxonomize and we divide. If a Muslim talks about God, it's Allah, which just means God in Arabic. Now, why don't we just say God? Because it's a division. No lives matter. Life matters. If you live your freaking life, you don't die, because your words will echo through eternity.
That's taxonomy.
If you don't live, if you're a roach, if you're a roach, are you even alive? I mean, it's hard to kill, but you're not even really alive.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not very bubbly at these things. I don't talk a lot.
I didn't prepare
any notes.
This is all interesting stuff. I don't want to, like, I'm like, we got to end the show, but I don't want to cut him off. it's all really great points. And I mean, I want to make taxonomy as theft hats now, because, like, it, you know, and especially, like, a lot of what you're saying is true. I talk about this all the time about how we can't have conversations when we're using the same words and expecting but we're using them with different meanings. If we have a conversation and I'm saying a word and you understand that word to have a completely different meaning, then we're not speaking the same language.
Oh, for sure. Like racists, like, instead of the N-word now, they like to go, yeah, well, that restaurant's pretty good, but there's a lot of Democrats over there, if you get my drift. You know what I mean? Like, there's ways around this.
Yeah.
I mean, when in the South, we always say, bless your heart. What it means is, you're a piece of shit, go to hell. Kind of like when the casinos said, you know, sure as shit is the 25-story hotel casinos in our city, one owned by a fourth-generation Italian mobster, Tilman Fertitta. defund the mafia, defund Tillman. They say good luck when you get chips. And what they mean is you're an idiot. So say what you mean. I preach radical honesty. I practice it. There's nothing for you to draw up for me because I don't hide it. There's nothing to hide. You want to talk about how I had sex with your wife? Well, it's probably on our OnlyFans and we're charging $50 to unveil which police juror's wife I defiled with my liberal genitalia. If you Google or ask Jeeves how to please a woman in bed, maybe they wouldn't come seeking help from guys like me. And don't forget, guys, this is what a big, scary, macho must threat to the pride of your Aryan women is. 150 pounds, 6'3", white guy of mixed racial identity wearing pink glasses. I terrify these proud boys who think they're so macho. I scare them. So maybe they realize, maybe they think I'm sexy and they're scared of their feelings. Well, baby, you're not my type either. You guys, your wives, your sister cousins, or whoever you're begging to marry you, they want a safe house or a Hilton at the least. You're offering a Super 8 and they're lucky to get a Motel 6. I'm not worried about all that shit. I'm just trying to get people affordable housing. People have to come together and say, if you want to measure dicks, here's a measuring tape. If Bernie Sanders had come out during the debates and said, you know what, Donald Trump, I'm over this. Let's just take turns fucking your wife and see which one she sticks with out the night. His polls would have gone up 10% because he's too nice. What if Trump had come out and said, well, you know, I agree. Why is the top 0.1% getting all this money? I'm only in the top 0.2%. Why does this Germ-X only kill 99.9% of germs? But the thing is, you have to play the game. Politics is a carnival and people wear many masks, but don't forget who they come to look at and who makes the money at the carnivals, the old carnivals that were in the country here that travel around. Who do they come and who do they remember? Who do they come to see because they see themselves in some way? They come to see the freaks. Well, I'm freak power, baby, and they're coming to see me and they're paying me to speak my mind. I want free health care. Yeah, I already have it. I want free public college. Yeah, I got it. Because people like me that can read and write halfway decent get free college already. And you paid for it, Mr. Trump, with your sales tax and your businesses taxes. You paid for it, Mr. Biden, with your property taxes and your businesses. You paid for it. Everyone who says they don't want it, you already paid for me to get this level of educated that frightens you, because free books are more scary to proud boys than their weapons, which they don't know how to load or even carry. One dropped one in a parking lot. I laughed and yelled, 5 second rule.
Nice.
What we need to do with the proud boys, but serious note, anytime you see a proud boy that's a known convicted felon, especially like an armed robber named Michael McComas of the Cajun Militia who lives in Denham Springs in Louisiana, if you see him with a gun, call the police, call the FBI, and say there's an armed convicted felon who is a known white supremacist and possible, you know, gang-affiliated person who fetishizes murderous gangs from television shows, and call it in, because it's not snitching if you're not complicit. If you don't snitch, if you don't tell on people when they actually put lives in danger, you're complicit, and I will definitely tell on you, because snitches get stitches. How about corrupt people get stitches? How about rapists get stitches? How about pedophiles get stitches? How about bullies get stitches? How about white supremacists get stitches? How about Confederate sympathizers get stitches? How about Nazis get stitches? Snitches, they're called whistleblowers. They're called heroes. Most of the time, they're called standing up for what they believe in, as scary as it is, because people come forward and they're not believed. Well, I'm not asking you for to believe me. I'm not asking for permission. My people and the people, and I call my people members of one race, the human race, and my people are promised freedom and we're denied it constantly. The Constitution still says we're 3/5 of a human if you're black, and what percentage black am I? Are you? We're denied freedom that we're promised. We're denied rights that we're promised. We're promised the pursuit of happiness. Well, I'm tired of asking for things. I'm just taking them, because as Dr. Martin Luther King, the last king I'd probably approve of, and they killed him, he said, freedom must be demanded by the oppressed. Well, we're all oppressed, so let's raise our voices and say, enough is enough.
That's right. All right, man. We do have to wrap the show up, but this is all, I'm going to have you back on. I want to give you an opportunity if you want to plug your Facebook page, your website, anything like that, where if people want to help you out, where can they find you? What can they do to help?
To help me out directly, right now my businesses and stuff are kind of faltered because we don't even have internet. I had to drive like an hour and a half to get somewhere with dependable internet to do this. So actually, it's your fault. I'm not helping starving children. Thank you so much, Taxation and Steph. You're a hero. I'm kidding. I needed a break. These police jurors' wives are keeping my fluids out of me, and it's hard to stay hydrated. Abstract for Mayor Lake Charles is on Facebook. Read Free LC is my business, which is, we have a subsidiary group that's just owned by it. That's Kids Read Free LC, which is where we give away kids' books and art supplies and whatever we can. Normally, when there's not a storm, we've given out about 2,000 books total since I started it a few months ago, but about 1,500 for sure that we've had donated, mostly by me, gasp, filthy socialist, buying shit and giving it away with his own money. People do donate, and the only way to donate really directly to me is joining those groups and find my Cash App. I don't know if I can say my Cash App name on here, but
yeah, go
it's
for
it's a $ Ryan Abshire, RyanAbshire, Cash App. Send me $5. If you don't have it, Dan, share a referral link for yours, and when you share that link, send you $5. They get you get a $5 bonus, and they get 15 for signing up through that link. Thank you, capitalism. We appreciate your business. Square is a $75 billion company, and they offer that to everyone who's a Cash App holder. So if you know someone that doesn't have one, if your wife doesn't have it, sign her up. All you need is your routing number. Sign up. Send me $5. Send whoever gives you the code $5. They get $5 bonus. You get $15 back. That's $20 generated from nothing. Micro loans from macro companies that take advantage of us all and make us think they're doing us a favor. Capitalism, baby. Taxonomy is Theft Hats. I, Ryan Abshire, Sound Mind and Body, approve you to make them, but I want half the profits sent to me so I can buy kids' books and food with it, because I don't bring Molotov cocktails. I bring baby food and diapers, and I don't burn down businesses. I start my own business. I run it so well, I put them out of business, and when they come asking me for a job, I give them one. Somebody's got to lick the mold off these rubber boots. So stay strong, chin up, Southwest Louisiana strong, and today's Columbus Day. And in Puerto Rico, which we are Puerto Rican if we're American, they can't vote. They're treated like shit. They say pa'lante, which means forward, para adelante. You know, it's a contraction, forward. So together we rise, we fight, pa'lante, onward, dans la rue, to the streets. There's no official language in the United States. So stand together, chin up, strong, SWLA strong, or United States strong, or wherever you are. We already won the Civil War. We won World War II. We beat fascism. My people beat them. And why do I fight for it? Because we already beat them, and they think the war's still going on. Well, I'll remind them who won, because both my grandfathers fought the Nazis in World War II, and we won. My ancestors are French, and we won World War II. And we'll keep fighting them. My people didn't fight in the Civil War. Only 11% of the population is even descended from people who fought the Civil War. So let's stop letting that minority run this country. I fly. The South is going to rise again. The South's defender statue fell. I'm the South's defender now, and it's going to rise for everyone that looks like me or you or black or trans or gay or women or anything like that. The South will rise again under an American flag where everyone has a freaking equal shot to just live their lives and do their thing, taxes or not, libertarian or not, Republican or not. And we got to say enough is enough, and it's going to rise where everyone can find, because I'm not nice and I'm done asking. I'm just telling. Thanks for having me on the show, man, and I look forward to maybe meeting you again.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, man. This has been great. I'm going to put your Cash App link in the description. So
And literally, just send me, $5. I think it's, you can even send $1. Like, $1 would be nice. Because yeah. I spent $20 earlier, and I got 80 kids' books. I got 6 books to sell, or for myself, and 10 books to sell for, like, $20.
And if you want to sign up, like, put in Ryan's put in Ryan's whatever. What do you call this? It's not a hashtag.
Well, it's like a referral. It's like a dollar sign, Ryan Abshire. But the sign up, you have to get like a code. You can maybe figure that. I can't figure out how to do that. But I'm not very tech savvy. I'm just handsome.
Well, figure it out. We'll figure it out.
All right. I'll check
that
out.
Send your money that way. I'm gonna send you a few bucks for sure. For
hell yeah.
I mean, it sounds like you got a lot of awesome stuff going on. I'm sure you're gonna use it the right way.
Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. And of course, if you're listening to the show, if you like what you heard, head over to taxationistheft.info. Make sure you support us by buying an awesome hat or a flag or a t-shirt, or just share the podcast, share this stream on Facebook or YouTube, wherever it is. Go to wherever you get your favorite podcasts. We're there also. Make sure you subscribe download, do all that cool stuff. Everything you do to help us get this word out helps us all get closer to freedom a little bit sooner, a little bit quicker. Thank you guys so much. I'll catch you next time. Taxation is theft.